turn the tides and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes the symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds a time to hear a child's first prayer. Saint or sinner, call and always find him there. Though it makes them sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. He can paint the clouds and turn the gray to blue. He alone knows where to find the rainbow's end. He alone can see what lies beyond the bend. A tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. God's chosen king and will reign supreme. He alone fulfills Israel's promised dream. He is coming soon and will cover earth. He will calm all fears and fill men's hearts with mirth. Lover of my soul, and he my bridegroom be. I am his and he is mine, and he loves me. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say,
surely continue to glory in the majestic grace of God. Let us turn this morning to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's begin with verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. We have another mystery before us today. In verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. I want to examine three words for this message today. Key words that are important to understand our subject here. The first one is, verse 7, the mystery. It is exactly the same word that we have seen in these other mysteries. It means that which indeed is secret. That which is silence is part of the meaning of it. But I want to notice that there is a great difference in the mystery that we have been studying concerning godliness and this particular application of the mystery of iniquity. God intends that we should understand these deep, intricate secrets of godliness, these things that God knows, and as we have already seen, that he has determined, he has promised to reveal unto us. But this mystery is a little different because this is a satanic mystery. As we are going to see a little bit later, we are not to study, we are not to delve into the intricate facts of this mystery. We must know it exists, as we will see, but we cannot study into it. And so the application here is indeed that this is a mystery. It is a satanic secret, but Jesus describes it this way in Luke 12. He is commenting on the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then he says this, "For there is nothing covered," it means to conceal altogether, "there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid," that is secret, "that it shall not be known." Satan holds this secrecy for the very purpose of deluding people, for deceiving them. And that's what we are warned against. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness." That means even this secret mystery of iniquity that Satan is so responsible for in our day. Jesus again said this, "Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." And so it is that Satan is using the darkness and the silence as a tool in order to deceive people. God will eventually bring that to light. But we, as godly people, must know how to deal with this in our own experience. Again, Satan's secrets are designed for deception. Back up to verse 3. "Let no man deceive you." And the great deception here is Satan himself trying to install his man, and indeed he will, the Antichrist. He is the, again reading in verse 3, he is the son, the man of sin, the revealed. He's the son of perdition. Verse 4, he opposes, he exalts himself above all that is called God, and he wants the one to be in that place to be God. The ultimate deception of the enemy, and indeed a part of this mystery of iniquity. He is doing these things in secret. The next word that we would delve into is the word iniquity. Mystery of iniquity. The word means unrighteousness. It means lawlessness. It means wicked. And as a matter of fact, the word that is translated iniquity here comes from the same word that is translated wicked in verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Now that wicked specifically describes the false prophet in these verses, but what I want to see here is that this is actually a description of the entire satanic trinity. We have often said that Satan can't come up with anything on his own. He has to imitate everything he does, and he follows this with God. God is a trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Satan has copied that. Satan, who would love to be and take the place of God, that's why he fell. Then we find the Antichrist trying to impersonate the real Christ. He's called Antichrist because he is against or trying to replace the Christ. And then, of course, there's the false prophet with all of his signs and lying wonders trying to imitate all of the things that are done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so this trinity of evil is actually the personification of the mystery of iniquity. Just exactly like Jesus is the personification of the mystery of godliness. And so we have this wicked that is mentioned here in verse 8, that wicked shall be revealed. I also want to notice here, before we get into the next word, in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We'll not turn there, but you can find it in 1 John 3:18. It says that every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now, already is it in the world. Both Paul and John tell us that this mystery of iniquity, this spirit of Antichrist, was already in the world at the time then present. I can tell you by different various accounts that this same thing has waxed worse and worse and worse down through the church age, and it has really come to the fore in our day. These things are manifest. The mystery of iniquity is here among us, and it is most assuredly imperative that we know how to handle that in our world today. This brings us to the third word that I want to speak on here. That is, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who letteth. That word let should be better translated hinder or restrain or hold back. That's what we're talking about with our relationship to the mystery of iniquity, is that we must hold it back. We must restrain it. There is a wrong teaching about this verse out in our world today. There are those that insist that the he, as you notice here in verse 7, he who now letteth will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. There are some who insist that the he is a reference to the Holy Spirit, but that cannot be the truth. The reason is because the Holy Ghost is not going to be taken out of this world. We know, Scripture is very clear, that the Holy Spirit will be very active in the two witnesses with all of this mighty power through the first 1260 days of the tribulation period. We also know that the Holy Ghost is the agent of new birth. And whether men realize it or not, people will be saved during the tribulation period. Granted, many of them will be martyred, but they will be saved. That's the responsibility of the Holy Ghost, and His ministry will continue well on throughout the millennial period. So the He is not the Holy Ghost. The He, brethren, is us, the righteous, the children of light. These are the ones who indeed must hinder or resist the power, the mystery of iniquity. Our mission is to hold back or to restrain this mystery of iniquity. Let us also understand, we do not and we cannot destroy or annihilate or bind, as some say, the one who's responsible for this mystery of iniquity. There are those who speak very poetically of getting this faith together, fasting and praying and binding the devil. Even Jesus did not bind Satan when he was here on this earth. There is only one time it is recorded that Satan is bound, and that is after the tribulation is over, when the mighty angel Jesus comes down from heaven and he bound that old dragon and he will put him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We also find that James tells us how we must approach the devil. James 4:7 promises, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus sets that in order. Jesus resisted him there in the garden, there in the wilderness. But it also says the devil leaveth him for a little season. We resist him for a particular time, a particular area, a particular effect, but never do we bind him where that he will never come back and bother us again. Ephesians 6 likewise tells us of this glorious message. Be strong in the Lord. This is absolutely imperative for us if we are going to resist or hinder this mystery of iniquity. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. We're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But then we are told repeatedly in Ephesians 6 that we are to stand and withstand, hinder, restrain, hold back. This is what God intends for us to do. And so our mission is simply to hinder rather than conquer and annihilate, so to speak. Then I want to notice that we are to hinder, resist, till he be taken out of the way. If you think that the wickedness and the ungodliness and the darkness and the evil and the wickedness is worse today than it has been, it's not your imagination. One of the great reasons for that is because that many godly worthies of faith have been taken out of the way and sad to say they have not been replaced. Light has been taken out of this world and darkness has crept into its place. We have seen that again and again and again. And so today, our hearts are grieved when those of faith, when those who know how to believe God, to those who demonstrated the light in their own lives and their practical walk before the Lord, we are disappointed and grieved that they are taken away. Wouldn't bring them back because it's God's choice to take them out. But when they left and they were not replaced, the darkness has gotten stronger and stronger, and it will do that until God Himself completely annihilates this mystery of iniquity. Let us impress upon our own hearts, we are to resist, we are to restrain, we are to believe God until we be taken out of the way, whether it be by way of the grave or whether by translation. Ours is to be faithful in this manner as those before us have been. And so we come to the question, so to speak, how do we hinder as long as we are here? We are given somewhat of a clue in these verses. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Once again, that word deceivableness is one part of the mystery. The mystery of iniquity, the very character of it, is deceit, dishonesty, hiding that which Satan don't want people to know. And so with all deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice this verse. Because they received not the love of the truth. This gives us a great clue for our lives. Anytime a person rejects any truth of the Scripture, he will leave himself wide open to the darkness and the error that will replace it. And so we must be those who lay hold of light, lay hold of truth. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Once again, if a person refuses to receive truth, he will believe the lie every time. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. But Paul says, we're bound to give thanks always for you, beloved. This is not true of you. And we can say this of every believer to one degree or another. Believed truth in order that the lie does not take hold in their lives. I want to turn to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, where we see a little bit more in the identification of the he here in our chapter, and indeed the how to resist, how to go forth in standing against, hindering this mystery of iniquity. We will begin in verse 8 of chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 8. This you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance. This is in verse 5, I'm sorry. Who has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you. You go down to verse 8. You were. This is what every believer must understand. Read that catalog earlier that we started there. That's what we were. But put it in the past tense. You were, in verse 8, sometimes darkness, but now are you light. This is exactly the same message that Paul preached to the Thessalonians. It is truth. It is light that will combat darkness. We'll see that more emphatically as we go on here. But you will notice, you are now light in the Lord. And again, we must understand we are nothing apart from Christ. We are light in the Lord. We don't hinder in our own strength.
We don't hinder because I have such great willpower, and I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be overcome. Our only victory is in the Lord. And I don't mean that just by word. I mean that we find our place by experience in Christ Jesus.
And so, you are light in the Lord. Well, walk as children of light. Make it practical. Let God make it real. Verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Just exactly opposite the mystery of iniquity. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That becomes the very key, the center of our lives. Rather than pleasing ourselves or what we would want, it is absolutely imperative that our major desire is proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There have been those in time past who have said, well, I need to study these ungodly religions, Buddhism and all these other isms and all of that. I need to study in that so I'll know what to stay away from. Don't ever believe that lie. Scripture says you don't have fellowship with these things. You don't be a participant in any way in these things. Not only so, it's a shame to even speak of those things. If you're going to dig into that and tell somebody else, it's a shame to even speak of it. Notice what the scripture says. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Here's the secret of staying away from error or any part of the mystery of iniquity. Get involved in as much light, absorb as much light as we possibly can, and the darkness will automatically be revealed. Amen. Automatically be manifested, as we see here. Our concentration must be on truth. Did you know that Satan had that same lie in the garden? Why, Eve, don't you know you need the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The only thing we need is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read here, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, that whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And then we are exhorted. Wherefore, because of verse 13, because it's the light that will dispel the darkness, wherefore, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up, be alert to the truth of God's word. Arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's because the mystery of iniquity is even now trying to overtake our world. Understand this, it will, but it doesn't have to overtake us. So let us protect ourselves by receiving, pursuing the light that God has given unto us. We don't study into evil. We are simply aware of the characteristics of this ungodly mystery and lay hold of truth in order that we might be spared of all of these things. One other fact before we close, we're not going to turn there. But Ephesians 6 describes the armor. There are seven pieces of that. The last one is prayer. This tells us that it's not just a matter of praying at a certain time or praying this, praying that. I am persuaded that God's people are to be in a constant attitude of prayer. Constant. Controls our very lives. Pray without ceasing, we are told. And one of the things that Paul specifically prayed in that chapter, pray for me, I give out the gospel. This is the prayer that we need to pray, that God would make known the light to as many as would receive it. And so we're to be very much, if we are going to hinder as God intends, if we're going to stand, to withstand, to restrain as God intended, we must be those who are united with Him in a constant attitude of prayer. I want to close with Revelation, the 7th chapter. The occupation of every believer in this world should be restraining or hindering. He that hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. The important point to understand in this 7th chapter is this. The bride of Christ has already been taken to heaven. She's already there when Jesus was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords there in chapters 4 and 5. Here in chapter 7, this is just prior to the time that the bulk of the church, the second rank of the church, will be taken to glory. Verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels. Some might automatically assume those are heavenly angels, and believe me, they most certainly can be a part of this group. But this is what I want to understand, because we see the same hindering ministry here that we have already seen in 2 Thessalonians. Notice, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding, restraining the four winds of the earth. Those four winds are the four winds of wickedness and evil, the same forces that we see in the mystery of iniquity. This is what we must notice. Every time the scripture mentions an angel, it doesn't mean a heavenly angel. The seven churches were led by seven angels. Those seven angels are identified as the pastors, flesh and blood, of those assemblies. The word angel simply means messenger. Later on in this book, John fell down before an angel to worship him, and that angel corrected him immediately and said, "Don't do it." The reason you don't do it is because I'm one of you. I am one of your brethren. I'm flesh too. And so angels are also flesh. And I am confident that because of the ministry that is seen here, these are glorified humanity. They are standing on the four corners of the earth, and they're holding, they are restraining, they are hindering the four winds. Later in this book, we find that this restriction is taken away, and these winds are allowed to swoop in order to accomplish exactly what the Antichrist wants to do. But at this time, they are restrained. They are restrained in exactly the same way that we have already seen. These are angels of light. These are angels who are repelling darkness. They are pushing back. This is exactly what God wants for our lives today. And so, as we close this message, let us understand. Let us step up to the plate, so to speak. Know that our mission is still to hinder this mystery of iniquity with every fiber of our being until we are taken out of the way, either by way of the grave or through translation. We must be faithful in that ministry.